This day is known as Candlemas, the day of blessing of candles in the church. Sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. But this is the 2nd of February, and this is exactly 40 days since we celebrated the birth of Jesus on December 25th. And you can now take down your Christmas trees. The season's over. We read in our gospel that Jesus is brought to the temple by Mary and Joseph to be consecrated to the Lord. This day is also known as the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord and as the day of the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our church has also declared this day the World Day for Consecrated Life. And in the secular world, it is known as Groundhog Day. And with all these names, the common thread is light. Candles, Candlemas for light. Jesus presented as the light of the world. Consecrated religious orders are light to the world by their lives of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And even the groundhog is looking for light and the hope and the promise of spring. However, we as Christians look at this day in the pure light of the Holy Spirit as the day of renewal, a day of hope, and a day of purification. Now, if we think of consecrated religious orders for a moment, we see in their example that they lead us away from the darkness of secular living with all its pursuing of wealth, sexual promiscuity, doing things my way, into living in the light of Christ. Walking in the light of Christ. They are examples of encouragement for us to live our lives more fully by consecrating ourselves to doing the will of God, to seeking holiness, and to loving and serving others without counting the cost. Now, those who are consecrated to the Lord are those who are, they fulfill the commission, the great commission of Jesus, where he says, "Go into all the world and teach all nations. Go and preach and teach my gospel of peace. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord." You hear that at the end of many masses. And so the church being you and I, we as the church for over 2,000 years have been going out and carrying on the mission of Christ. At least that's what we're supposed to do. That's what our dismissal is about at the end of the Mass. It has been people like you and I who have gone out to be the hands and eyes and feet of Christ and who have carried on the mission of Jesus. You know, it was the Catholic Church who first established the first hospitals to care for the sick. It's the Catholic Church who established orphanages to help the poor. It's the Catholic Church, through the religious and so on, who bring relief and comfort to those in need. It is the Catholic Church who first started to educate children in a systematic way. They built the first schools, started the first colleges, started the first universities. That's the Catholic Church. Catholic Church defends the dignity of all human life from conception to natural death. The Catholic Church upholds marriage and families as one man and one woman. And that is what you and I are called to today. We are to be examples of the light, living in the light, and to allow people to see us walking in the light. We come to those who are in darkness to be the light. We come to those who don't seem to have much of a future, don't know where they're going, don't know who they are, those who have little hope. And we can be their light, and we can provide a way out of the darkness in which they live. I have here on the sanctuary stairs many children who live in absolute poverty and hopelessness. Well, right now, they're full of joy. You look at their pictures, they're smiling, and they're so cute. But in spite of that, they are living in meager and difficult conditions. But soon they will get older and start to despair of any hope. And we need you to come and to be the hands and eyes and feet once again, to rescue these children from a future of hopelessness, to carry on the mission of Christ into our world. You know, we have at the core of our very being the call from God to serve. We're asked to serve. That is, in essence, our church. The Catechism says this: serving is the deepest sacramental expression of Christ's continuing saving grace. Now, we do this because we can bring education and health care and clean water to these children. You know, in our gospel, we read of Simeon, who had been told by the Holy Spirit that his death would not come until he saw the Messiah. And it was when he held the baby Jesus, he knew that Jesus was the one who would come for the salvation of all. Simeon stated that Jesus was a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people of Israel. And he continues to be that light, but we have to do the work. From all the scriptures and prayers that we have read here today, there is one deep and profound meaning that we all need to grasp. And the deep meaning that's quite simple, but it's so profound, is this: every human life is a precious gift from God. Every human life is worthy of reverence and respect from conception to natural death. Now, in another gospel, we hear where he has asked us to go and feed the hungry, give clothes to the naked, give drink to the thirsty, liberate captives, embrace the unwanted, the unborn, the sick, and the elderly. And we all agree to do this. And then we ask ourselves, well, how can I practically do this? I have children and grandchildren. I've got this to do, that job to go to. I got to go here. I got to go there. How could I possibly do the mission of Christ here on earth? How can I be the hands and eyes and feet of Christ? Well, this is the tangible way that I've brought to you this morning to be his hands and eyes and feet. You could serve the poor by bringing hope to at least one of these children on the sanctuary stairs. Now, I am asking you, will you come share some of the many blessings that you've been given by living here in this beautiful area of Calgary, working and living here? Will you come and share with at least one child and save a life? And you know, you look at them and you go, yes, but there's so many of them. What can I possibly do? Well, Mother Teresa says, I cannot help all of them, but I can help this one in front of me here. Now, my friends, we're entering into that great season of Lent where almsgiving is one of the precepts. And when we give alms, we should feel a bit of a bite in our pocketbook. It's called a sacrifice. We sacrifice. Now, if we just give from our plenty, it's not a sacrifice. We need to sacrifice to give so that we feel the bite of $37 no longer in my pocket this month because I went to sponsor a child for Chalice. I'm giving the child food and clean water and clothing and school costs, medical and dental and nutritional care. I can't afford all the gasoline for my car. I'm short $37. Or I'm short $37 for my friend and I to go for lunch. You see, the $37 in our world doesn't go far. But in the developing world, it goes a long, long way, especially when your salary for a whole month is $18. Now along comes $37. Now my children have a future. Now they have a hope. The money is first used to help the child that you sponsor. Then it goes out to help the siblings in that child's family. Then it goes out to help that whole community. So when there's a cohort of Chalice sponsors from Canada, they can build a little school here. They take a little bit of the money, put a little school there, a little room, a little medical clinic there, a little nutrition program there. They build up a whole community around the $37 that you give. And so the money is powerful. As I said, it transforms a whole community. And it's good news, not just for the child, but for the whole community. You know, you've heard that phrase, it takes a whole village to raise a child. It takes just one sponsored child in Chalice to raise up a whole community. Will you give? I'm going to tell you why Chalice is not an ordinary charity. First of all, Chalice is the number one international aid and development corporation in our country, fully Catholic and fully Canadian. Hails from Nova Scotia. And it was started about 20 years ago by Father Pat Cosgrove, who's still the head of the program. We have now established 57 sites around the world in 5 continents, North and South America, Africa, Asia, and in Europe. The Ukraine in Europe, Haiti in North America, and many, many other countries in Africa and South America. Bangladesh, India, Bolivia, Peru, Paraguay, Kenya, Tanzania, just to name a few. Every child that is sponsored receives benefits from the program. Chalice workers believe that they must live simply so others may simply live. And as it's been reported time after time, year after year, as the number one international aid charity in Canada, it says that up to 93% of all the money that is collected goes directly to serve the poor. It's a very high rating of money going directly to the mission projects. All donations, of course, are tax deductible. You're going to get at least a third of that back on your income tax. So I'm asking you today to become, to imitate Christ, be a disciple of Christ, show love for another, be aware of God's abiding presence in you. This act of generosity will unite your destiny with another's destiny forever. You have an opportunity to give life and happiness to another. And Jesus made it very clear that whatsoever you do to the least of these, you do to me. Give a glass of water, you give it to me. Receive a little child, you receive me. So as I said, I'll be here at the end of the Mass, standing here. I'll exit on the hymn, but I'll come back in. I'll ask you to come forward. I'll give you a pen. I'll ask you to fill in the back page with your name and address because I don't want to lose any of the children in my care. And if you have your financials today, that's great. You can fill in the other side of the page with a check, automatic debit from your account, or a credit card. Just sign and seal it. Then the transaction's completed. If you don't have your monies and your finances with you today, that doesn't matter. You can still take a child home. Just leave the back page with the address so I can track you down at midnight some night. Now, I will end with one quote from Father Ronald Rollheiser, who says, "We give because we know the quality of justice in our world is judged by how the poor, the most vulnerable, are faring." He goes on, "Nobody gets to heaven without a letter of reference from the poor." And then he says, "On the last day, we will be judged on one basis. Did we care for the poor?" So bring a candle of hope, light a candle for a child, be the light for the child, and with supernatural generosity, please send a message of hope and love to one more child in our hurting world. In the words of St. Teresa Avila, "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." God bless you.